Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Who'd you have behind
him? Because you had a guy like Pajemski behind him. It's Steve Young. I got to go on 95.7 The Game. That's a walk-off.
It's a terrible walk-off.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Get that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy New Year. Welcome in. Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. No Mark Willard. He's back on Monday. It's Dan Dibley, Mark Randy with you, Dibs. Happy New Year. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I miss this. There's so much to get into that is, you know, 8 to 10 days old. So I'm going to try to not get into all that. Like the Christmas Day game and then the debacle against the Cavaliers and the whole Niner thing. Where
Monday Night Football.
All that and more, but I'm just happy to be back and, you know, happy to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yep.
I know we were both a little under the weather around the holidays.
Boy.
I'm glad that we've gotten that sorted out and we're ready to go here today and tomorrow on Willard and Dibs from 2 to 6. We got a lot planned for you today. Greg Cosell's coming up in about an hour at 3:15. I've already seen some questions come in on the Comcast Business text line and on Twitter. Which one of us is Greg going to stick it to today? I think the most likely scenario is probably both. Over the course of the interview.
Doubt.
That's in an hour at 3:15. We'll also check in with Dr. Brian Feeley on Cleared to Play coming up at 4 o'clock. A lot of injuries to talk to Doc about. We'll get into that coming up in a little bit. But Dibs, you brought up the terrible Warriors game against the Cavs. That was on Monday night, the same night as the Niners' loss against the Lions. They since followed it up. Or they're going to follow it up tonight when they take on the 76ers. But that's what's fresh in our minds about the Warriors right now. A terrible offensive performance, an okay defensive performance against one of the best teams in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's becoming, Dibs, more and more apparent as every week passes watching this Warriors basketball team that they're just simply nowhere near good enough to do anything of any real value this season unless a miraculous trade presents itself and they suddenly get like three times better because they have proven they're a 500 team, 16 and 16, 8-8 at home, 8-8 on the road. They're just mediocre, as Steph Curry said on Monday.
And if you look at all the metrics, they're in the middle of the pack on offense and on defense. The offense is maybe the one that's most alarming because I think they're 17th in points per game. And you look at who they added, and Dennis Schroeder so far through whatever, 8 games or however long it's been, he has not made any real impact. And Buddy Hield was amazing for 2 weeks. And then now Buddy Hield has kind of reverted back to the player that every other team said to us that he was going to be. And
can't make a single shot.
Can't make a shot. And the rest of the offense, you know, they have flashes. And I love what Kuminga's doing. And I do think that he's making himself money. I don't know if it's going to be here or elsewhere, but he's starting to play with that confidence and that assertiveness that everybody wants. But he's not good enough to be your number two if you're going to be a really good championship team. But I look at the top of the marquee, and it's Steph and Draymond, and neither one is playing consistently at the level you need to have them play at. And, you know, for Steph, he's an older player, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if Mark agreed or not, but Steph can do it, but he can't do it 3 out of 4 games. It's now 2 out of every 4 games, or maybe 1 out of every 4 games. And Draymond saying, and Steiny played the sound earlier about Draymond not wanting to play the 5 because, you know, he's an older guy, and I don't blame him for that. But the thing that really gave you an advantage is Draymond at the 5 and Steph being otherworldly, and now neither one of them is that. So we can talk about trades and what you want to do, but I don't think that there's a trade or two trades out there that take you from where you are to where you want to be.
Yeah, here's Draymond. This was post-game Saturday when the Warriors beat the Suns, and they beat the Suns with Draymond playing a lot of minutes at the 5 down the stretch, and it was an incredible defensive showing by the Warriors in that fourth quarter. Here's Draymond post-game on Saturday after the win against Phoenix talking about playing the 5.
You know, for me coming into the season, I'll be honest, I didn't want to play a ton of 5. It's hard. And it was working. We were 12-3 or whatever we were, and it was working. When it's not working, you have to look at what works. And if you ask me at the 5, like I said, I don't love it for entire games at this point, but I love to win. So, and more importantly, I hate to lose. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. You got to win games, or I told the guys, we all going to get traded out of here, so we better win some games.
The Warriors are stuck because their best lineup, and in this Steve Kerr era, their best lineup has almost always featured Draymond Green at the 5. But they just simply can't do it enough to where it makes enough of an impact for the Warriors. And if they do it enough, and it leads to a couple more wins maybe now in January and potentially into February, then you get to when the games really, really matter in March and April and maybe into the postseason, and suddenly Draymond is a shell of himself because you wore him out playing the 5 in January.
Exactly. And I think about last year where Draymond missed 25 or 26 games, whatever the number was, due to suspension. And he was good later in the year because he had that natural break because he couldn't play for a month based on the NBA suspending him. And this year, he hasn't missed a lot of games. He's missed 1 or 2 games, and you have him out there playing the 5 a bunch. And so he's wearing down, and he's getting older. And so the same thing applies to Steph, where you need Steph to go out there and get you 28 to 32 a night to win. And he just can't do that night in and night out. And so when he's not doing that and Draymond's not as effective, who do you turn to? Well, Andrew Wiggins has had a nice year, but he's not a real, you know, number two who can get you 30 or 35. He can't step forward and like, Steph, I know you're down a little bit. I'm going to go out there and give you 30 or 35. And Kuminga, he tends to have really big games in losses. And I know he had 34 in the win over Phoenix, which is good, but in general, you don't have that secondary or tertiary score to pick up for Steph when he's down.
I also think in the Kuminga conversation is really interesting because I was on the bandwagon for a long time that the easiest way for the Warriors to get better now and to improve now and to maybe give them a chance to win a championship or at least, you know, be a top 5 seed in the West this season is by trading Kuminga away. Because I never felt the fit. I hadn't seen him work alongside Steph and Draymond for long stretches, and it kind of felt like it's almost kind of what happens to Andrew Wiggins. But for Wiggins, it's okay, although you wouldn't like it to happen, where he kind of just gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, right? Like, he does, when he's not terribly involved often throughout the course of a game, which oftentimes is what happens when he's sharing the floor with Steph and Draymond, because they just spam Steph and Draymond pick and roll and they use the motion offense, and that doesn't really fit Kuminga's strengths. So when that happens and you have Kuminga, who's clearly a valuable piece of your team, and if you're talking about the easiest way for you to get better without making a move, it's by Kuminga just taking a step forward. And he's kind of done that the last few games, no doubt. He's been a lot better. But that had been my opinion on the situation for a while. But now seeing him take that step forward, and I think seeing the Warriors make a little bit of an adjustment and say, hey, you know what, JK, we're not going to just give you the ball every possession, and we're not going to let you go to work 24-7. But even when Steph's on the floor and when Draymond's on the floor and we see you've got a mismatch, we're giving you the ball and we're ISOing you, get to the rim, young man. And he's been doing that often. And so now that that's the case, Dibs, I've kind of had a changing of heart, and I feel like if the Warriors are set on trying to get better now and to win now, which is what I think they should be doing, and I think they're trying to do it, that has to involve Kuminga still on the roster, because you don't take one of the best things you have going for you right now and ship him away when he's only making $7 million
right,
and expect to get better in return for that. That's like a near impossible proposition to get better by trading Kuminga away.
Agreed, and we could talk about more trade scenarios as we get deeper into the show, and I know Zion's a name that's been thrown out, and it's going back to New Year's Eve where Bobby Marks had a trade proposal, and many people have now picked up on that and talked about what that might look like. But I look at just Kuminga in December, 21 points a game, and now 6 rebounds a game. He's starting to do a little bit more of that. The free throw percentage is going up. He's averaging 31 minutes a night. He's become more impactful offensively. For me, the bigger issue is, and put aside Steph and Draymond and the fact that they're getting older and they're diminishing, because that's a reality, but it's everyone else. Where is Buddy Hield? Buddy Hield has fallen off the map, and every other secondary and tertiary player, they're not contributing to help this thing.
Yeah, no. I mean, you, there's issues all over the roster right now. I think some of it is what you laid out. Your top dogs can't play like top dogs as often anymore. And so if that's the case, you need more help for those dudes than ever before, but you're also getting less help from those dudes than ever before. Some of that is just a couple of guys going through a slump. Some of that is, I think, poor roster construction. If your best lineup features a lineup that you don't want to play very often because because it's going to hurt your chances in the postseason, then that's just poor roster construction. If Kuminga's best at the four, but you need him on the floor with Draymond, Draymond has to play the five in order for Kuminga to play the four while those are on the court. Like, it, you just have so much overlap, and it hasn't been a very efficiently constructed roster. So that is something that the Warriors need to consider as well. One thing that we're going to get into throughout the show today, Dibs, and I'm looking forward to it, it's since it's the new year, 2025, Happy New Year, get it in. Be sure to wait a couple of weeks and then wish Dibs a Happy New Year. You'll get on his nerves.
I wouldn't. You get a week. You get till Monday.
This has been a rough year for Bay Area sports, Dibs. We're going to focus just on the Warriors, Niners, and Giants. We can even sprinkle in a little bit about the Giants. What's one thing that each of those teams, the Niners, Warriors, and Giants, should do this year to make 2025 better than 2024? Because there's no doubt it was a rough year for all three of those teams. What do each of those teams need to do better this year to make 2025 better than 2024? We can start on that with the Warriors on the other side. We're always open for your calls, 888-957-9570. That's Dibs. I'm Grandy in for Willard. That's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We are sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard. It's Grandy in for Willard. He's back on Monday. So Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs. As always, we're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957TheGame and youtube.com/957TheGame to watch us live. And if anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube. And make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dibs, I don't know what your New Year resolution is, but if you do swear, they will get to hear it on YouTube, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Life with a 2-year-old at home, I swear a lot less than I used to.
Good point.
When I had teenagers, and so I don't really curse as much unless I'm behind the wheel. And
and then you let it fly.
Oh yeah. Although
no filter.
Yeah, and I've tried to really cut back on the beep beep middle finger stuff because it's a losing game. It's a losing proposition, so I lay off the horn, I keep my hand down, but I will mutter or shout out expletives.
I mutter, too.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, you dumb mother father, or go blank head.
I do that one.
Or, you know, yeah.
You don't have a stop sign. Go.
The one that gets me, and I should save it for tomorrow, what's bugging me, when you're at a traffic light and it's red and it turns green and you look and you wait for the person to go and they're clearly on their phone. And it's, you know, okay.
What's the appropriate amount of time after 3 seconds?
Yeah.
When you can start honking?
Yeah, and I try not to honk. Again, it depends on the region. My horn usage will differ. Much more aggressive in the North Bay than I am in the East Bay. But,
Good point. Three seconds.
And although now my new thing is the quick three paps
not
of the horn. Exactly. Just to kind
of
wake you up and, you know, let you realize that it is green.
Hey, just, you know, friendly Good Samaritan here.
Exactly.
Time to go.
Yeah, time to go. Exactly.
Get
the hell. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's too aggressive. I'm trying to, you know, dial it back. But my resolution actually for this year is to focus on things that I'm good at, as opposed to trying to chase things that I want to be good at.
Mm.
Just focus on things that I'm actually good at. So, and that's why no more fantasy.
No
sports.
More fantasy for you.
Daily fantasy, season fantasy.
We'll see when September comes around.
Yeah, it's a long time from now, but I've never been good at fantasy football. And shout out Carter Chickering, our technical director.
Manning the board right now, yeah.
Had the best team, won the league. Yeah, nobody needed that, okay?
Did you already go out and spend all the winnings over the holidays?
Nah. No?
Yeah, you know, here and there.
haven't gotten
the winnings yet. It's unbelievable.
Whoa.
And he's got family money, as I learned over the holidays.
You know what I've learned is just don't trust Lucas with the winnings.
Maybe we need a new commissioner. And that would probably bring Dibs back.
Again, I focus on the things that I'm good at, and fantasy sports has brought me... I was in this league for 2 years, and it brought me nothing but failure and anger.
I mean, yeah, that's what fantasy does when you're not winning.
But I'm good.
It's terrible.
And I'm good. And this year, I went against the top-scoring team 6 times, and I was 0-6 in those games, you know, as you would figure out.
If you're playing against the top-scoring team,
right,
you're going to lose.
Right, 6 times. Yeah. And so I'm good. I'm done. I'm good.
All right,
I get it.
I'll check in 8 months, and we'll see where you're at.
Yeah, and fantasy golf starts today with the Century, the TOC.
So you play fantasy golf.
No, I'm out.
Oh.
I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're out on all of it.
I'm out
gotcha.
On all of it.
All right, well, we'll check in.
Other than horse racing, gambling, animals riding animals, that I'm in on. If animals are riding other animals, that I'm into.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, let's move on. Speaking of the new year, Dibs, I threw this out before the break. Let's throw it out to you specifically about the Golden State Warriors to start. Although you could take it any way you want. 2024, no doubt, was rough for the Warriors, Niners, and Giants. I mean, the Warriors had a bad year last year, mediocre year, lost in the play-in, and this year hasn't been pretty. So far, this season hasn't been pretty yet. 16-16 this season in 2024. 49ers won playoff games last year in 2024, but then lost in the Super Bowl, followed up with the most tumultuous offseason they've had in a very long time, and then are putting the finishing touches on the most disappointing season in the NFL. And the Giants, of course, as we know, they failed miserably last year, and then they fired their president of baseball operations and are now trying to begin anew. Disappointing year for all three teams in 2024.
Right.
Let's start with the Warriors. What is the one thing the Warriors can do now at some point in 2025 to make sure that this year, this calendar year, is better than the 2024 calendar year was for the Warriors?
Well, I would say to make a trade that is incremental and not major at the deadline. And you're not trading Steph Curry. And for me, any talk of that is complete nonsense because he is your box office cash cow, and you can't possibly get value for him short-term and maybe long-term if you're able to get multiple first-round picks, but I don't think that he is at that spot where you could trade him and get back. You need to get back, what, $55 million worth of player and picks. I don't think that he is at a point in his career where you could actually...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Actually do that, and he wants to go to a team that, I would imagine he wants to go to a team that has a chance to win. So for me, it's not trading Steph Curry. If I'm looking at this year, it is make an incremental trade in 5 weeks to bring in Vucevic if you can. You give up a couple of your salary matches of expiring guys, and maybe you part with a second round pick or two, and you bring in a guy, and maybe you go on a run, or you don't, and then you get into the draft, and then you get in next year, and you try to build from there. For me, it's not a desperation move of, you got to bring in Jimmy Butler or Zion or Ingram or somebody in the next 5 weeks. To me, that's nonsense, because I said it a month ago, this team is in real trouble. They're in real trouble if you make a move, if you don't make a move, big move, small move, no matter what you do, this team is not going anywhere this year. So for me, it's about incremental improvements between now and next October.
So, okay. All those moves that you throw out, the incremental moves that you are a fan of, that still is not enough for you to consider them to be a contender this year.
No.
How you're looking to acquire someone who still has time left on their deal? But I'm trying to figure out how an incremental move that doesn't help them this year is something you're still suggesting they do. If it doesn't help you now, and it's an incremental move likely not going to be enough to help you in the future, what's the point of doing it?
Well, if you bring in a player like Vucevic, and he's got one more year in his deal, so he's got this year and then next year at 21.5, I'm looking at it now, that at least is a player where you're going to have him next year, and he'll be expiring, and that's an asset that you can use to maybe go out there and use him as a trade piece next year, or he's a guy who can help you as a big man who can shoot. And you keep Kuminga, and then you go into the offseason, and if some team wants to offer him $45 million a year, then fine. You let him go.
Or you let him go for nothing. You get nothing in return.
Well, if some team's going to offer him $45 million a year over 5 years, and that's $225 million over five, that to me is a little rich for my blood. If there's a deal out there that you can match, then you match it. And then if you decide that you want to Jordan Poole him, which is what they did to Jordan Poole. They signed him, and then they traded him. Jonathan Kuminga becomes a much bigger asset for me in the offseason than he is now. If he plays a full season of this, what we saw in December, 21 points a night, a guy who looks like he might be emerging, then, yeah, he becomes a much more tradable asset if he has a bigger contract in the offseason.
He does, no doubt. Like, part of the reason why I think the most likely scenario for the Warriors is a trade that happens before the deadline, of course, that doesn't involve Jonathan Kuminga. Because if you're trading Kuminga, one, I don't think your team gets that much better because he's been, of late, one of your best players. Like, remember what when this Warriors downturn began, they were, they were 12-3?
12-3, yeah.
12-3, and then they go to San Antonio. And they had that, it's like a 17-point lead late in the third, something like that. And they will ultimately blow it. That was at the end of a road trip. It was a back-to-back. They had barely held on in New Orleans the night before. They lose that game. Then they return home. You're like, all right, you lose that one game on the road. San Antonio's not a great team, but they're not a bad team. Back-to-back, it is what it is. Okay. Then they followed up with that rough loss at home to the Nets.
Yep.
Dennis Schroeder led the way for Brooklyn that night.
Dennis Schroeder.
And the Warriors had like an 18-point lead in that game, I think, in the second half. And they blew that one as well. Interestingly enough, I don't know how many of us remember this, those were the only two games that Kuminga missed this year. He was out with an illness for those two games. Did not play either of those two games. I guarantee you, if Kuminga played in those games, the Warriors win both of those basketball games, and not necessarily means they were going to continue on their 12-3 pace, but this down stretch that began with those two losses, maybe it's a little bit different. Vibes, mentality, emotions, maybe they change if you win those two games. I'm not saying it makes a big difference. My only point is Kuminga is clearly valuable to this team, and I don't think you can get better now, which should be your goal, by trading him away. The other half of it is, as you talked about, he's only making $7 million right now.
Yeah.
So if you're going to trade him away and trying to get someone that is better and more valuable than Kuminga in return, then you have to be incredibly, I don't know, liberal with how many other pieces you're willing to trade away to make it have any value. Because if you're trading away $7 million for Kuminga and your goal is to get back even someone not making a ton, like Cam Johnson, who's making $22 million, you have to attach $15 million more to just Kuminga to get Cam Johnson back in return. And I think most people would say Cam Johnson's probably worth less than Kuminga as an asset, but he's making like three times as much as Kuminga. So it doesn't work that way. I don't think you can trade away Kuminga and get better, partly because he's still valuable to you and partly because the way the contracts work, you're giving yourself a trade involving Kuminga. This is the simplest way I can put it, Dibs. You are trading him at a loss almost no matter what the trade is because he's making so little.
Exactly, because there's no player who makes what he makes who is as good as he is for you. And so you can't bring in a $7 million player who does what he does. That's why I think about this year, 2025, what can the Warriors do to get better in this year? And I do think that it is, you know, wait on Kuminga and see what the market will bear. And if Kuminga is going to command $40 million a year, then you can sign him for $40 million and you can trade that $40 million if you don't believe in Kuminga. But I also look at what you have right now, and you've got Looney at 8, and you've got, you know, Buddy Hield making 8.8. He's got a 3-year deal after this year that's not that expensive. You've got pieces that are tradable, pieces that are expendable. GP2 making 9.
Yep.
If you just combine GP2 and Kavon, that's $17 million, and you throw in a little something else, can you get Vucevic for 20? Absolutely, and that makes you better. And I do think that Dennis Schroeder will be better than what he's been. I mean, yeah. I would hope that he's better than what he's been, because so far it's been, I mean, I think Evan earlier called it, you've got worse since he came in, and it's hard to argue, even though he replaced a guy who didn't play.
You gave up nothing off the current roster.
But what you got is a guy who plays and doesn't play well.
Yeah.
So he may not be wrong, but for me, it's about incremental moves at the deadline, and you get to the offseason, and then you look at it, because you're not going to trade Steph Curry, in my opinion. He's got 2 more years under contract. You got 2 more years of Wiggs. You got 2 more years of Draymond. So for me, I'm looking at this as a 2.5-year project where it's not do something now in the next 5 weeks or else. It's do something over the next year or even year and a half to help Steph, and then we can talk about the end game after that.
Yeah, I just feel like with those incremental moves that you're talking about, you're in danger of just trotting back out the same team that has proven for 2.5 years now that just isn't good enough. And you're only going to have a worse Stephen Curry as the years go by, a worse Draymond Green as the years go by. And that's why my resolution, if you want to think of it that way, my one thing that I think the Warriors should do in 2025 to make sure this year is better than last year, 2025 better than 2024, it's be bold. Make a bold decision. Don't just stick with the easy stuff, right? And I know some people will think about, well, you know, not re-signing Klay was bold. I don't know. Was it? Like, he wasn't very good for you last year, and he was expecting a decent amount of money. I think the bold decision would have been to pay him the money. I think it's be bold and go all in or go all out, one way or the other. And I hate to just flatly disagree, Dibs, but I don't think you can just kind of hang out in the safety of the middle anymore. I think you need something big, one way or the other. And if that is saying, you know what, we're going to sign Kuminga to the extension that he wants and use that as a way to acquire somebody else in the offseason, a la Jordan Poole from a couple of years ago.
Right.
You did that to get Chris Paul in here. That was a bold move at the time, but you did nothing to capitalize on Chris Paul's contract slot because you let that expire and you didn't get anything in return for it. Part of it was because you wanted to save money and get out of the aprons, and I get that. But you got to be bold, and you got to follow through on your decisions. Whether it is to, I'm going to say the terrible, scary words, whether that is to trade Steph and to trade Draymond, or not, I can't sit here and say that I think the best thing for the Warriors to do is just kind of hang out in the middle, make an incremental move, acquire Nikola Vucevic, and hope that it just magically fixes all the problems on this roster. It's go big or go home. And by go home, I mean wrap this thing up, and we're talking about the next era of Warriors basketball.
I just want to know what trading Steph Curry looks like. And this is what I asked Steiny and Evan before, because even if you want to play this game in the next 5 weeks and you decide, you know what, we're going to go big. We're not going to go big. We're going to go really big. We're going to trade Steph Curry. I wonder what that looks like, because Steph doesn't want to go, I wouldn't imagine, and I haven't talked to Steph about this. It's been the holidays and I was under the weather, but I can't imagine he wants to go to Detroit or Charlotte or Toronto or some other bottom feeder team.
Of course not.
He wants to go to a good team. So what good team is going to have, and I'm just checking the number, $55.7 million worth of player that they want to give back? So when it comes to right now, go big or go home, trading Steph Curry, I just don't know what that looks like from an actual trade standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd be curious is talking to someone in the know, and maybe that happens at some point. Maybe we get someone on tomorrow, or maybe you and Mark Willard can find somebody on Monday next week to talk about it. About, I don't know what Steph Curry's value would be and what you could get in return for him. But I'm not even talking about necessarily in like a specific example kind of way. I'm thinking more of a mindset kind of way.
Right, right. Like, I get that.
The last 2.5 years has not worked. And at a certain point, if you just, you know, cross your fingers and hope that it works it out, or you acquire a $20 million player and hope that it fixes everything, at some point you're Sisyphus rolling the boulder up the hill over and over and over again.
But last year you did win 46 games. So to say that it doesn't work is a little, to me, unfair. And I don't mean to borrow from Steve Kerr, because he said this to Mark and I and to you and many other people over and over, but they were 46-36, so, and Draymond Green missed about a fourth of the season or more, a third of the year. And so, for me,
he hasn't missed much time this year, and yet they're 16-16.
Right, this team's a little bit different, and this team is still capable of going on a little bit of a run. But to say that last year didn't work, I think, is a little bit short-sighted, because you did win 46. I know you didn't make it out of the play-in, but
you got embarrassed in the play-in.
You did.
When you had everybody.
Yeah, you did. And I just think that if you're going to make a big wholesale move now, it's not as valuable as a smaller move and a wait-and-see approach and, you know, trying to come back again next year. And, yeah, next year when Steph is 37 turning 38, that to me feels a lot more urgent than where we are now with him 36.
Yeah, and I think maybe the area where I could be in agreement with you is, You don't have to go all in or all out right this very instant. I'm not saying necessarily trade all of the first round picks you possibly can. Trade Pajemski, trade Trace Jackson Davis, trade Kuminga, and get whichever best player you possibly can. Like, I think you need to make moves that make you better now, but also make you better and set you up better for the future. So you're not acquiring someone who's on the last year of their contract. Or if you are, you have a handshake agreement that you're going to be able to retain them and sign them to an extension this offseason. You're also not signing or trading for someone who's on the wrong side of 35. Like, you're not going and getting Jimmy Butler, right, for example, right? You're bringing in someone who has years left on their contract, who is young, still ascending, or at the very least not descending, and you're willing to give up your future first-round picks to do so. And a player that fits that bill is Cam Johnson. But you don't give up Kuminga for that. You make it work elsewhere with a player like Looney or Hield and Moody and a draft pick if needed. And you get Cam Johnson in here, who is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, is a plus perimeter defender, and is under contract for two more years beyond this season. Would immediately become this team's second-best shooter, even if Buddy Hield is still on the roster. That would help the team now. And then you reconsider in the offseason, what big name is going to become available in the offseason, and who do you want to go out and make it happen? So I'm not suggesting, Dibs, that you burn everything down or you trade away every young asset you have at this very instant, but the trades or the deals that you should consider making are ones that, one, help you now, but also, two, are kind of set up for your team in the future. And this, the bold kind of decision I'm talking about, it's not like there's an easy answer to all of these questions. But I think you got to be ultra specific in what kind of moves you're talking about. And one other player that might fit the description that maybe is available now, might be available this offseason, it's one I know you're out on, a 24-year-old in New Orleans, 24-year-old Zion Williamson. And I know he's had a history of injury and not being able to be on the court.
He's had a present of injuries, and he has a future of injuries.
Maybe.
His whole career has been colored by injury.
24 years old. Imagine you take a risk when no one else is willing, and he, like Steph Curry, suddenly doesn't get injured again. And you're talking about the next face of your franchise that you could get for pennies on the dollar right now, and he's only 24 years old. He's only 2 years older than Kuminga. Like, imagine a Kuminga-Zion pairing for years to come. Those are the kinds of moves I'm talking about, where it's risky, but be bold. You're not going to get out of the hole that you're in, not all by your own doing. It's the nature of a dynasty, and when it crumbles hard, and you have these tough decisions to make. You're going to have to take a risk. If you don't take risks, you're going to be stuck in this mediocrity until Steph retires, and then when Steph retires, even if you still have Kuminga and Pajemski, guess what? You're going to be way worse, and you're going to win 35 games instead of 45.
For you to make the comparison of Zion to Curry is historically inaccurate, reckless, and quite frankly, it's harmful. And I'll give you the Steph Curry game log in the early part of his career. He played 77 games as a rookie.
Okay.
That means he missed five. He played 74 as a sophomore. He missed eight. His third year, he only played 26 games. So yeah, he missed 56 games. That is Zion every single year in a nutshell. Then Curry played 78, 78, 80, 79, 79. That's Steph Curry in his first 7-8 years. He missed a grand total of 2, 8, a bunch, 4, 4, 2, 3, and 3. Zion Williamson has missed half of his career. Half. And I don't know, is he in his fifth year or sixth year? He's literally missed 50% of his games.
He's in his sixth season, only have played in five. He missed the entire 2021-2022
season. And he has not played in 2 months this year.
Yeah.
And he also has and I heard Evan say this earlier, that in his contract, it's voidable because he's not been able to make his weight and body mass index regimented contract stipulations.
A weight clause in the contract.
Exactly. So there's a weight clause that makes it so his contract is voidable, and I guess that makes him more acquirable.
Less risk.
Trade for him. It's less risk, but he doesn't play basketball, and I don't even know if he really wants to play basketball, and I don't know if his injury in New Orleans is a quote-unquote injury based on the fact that he doesn't really want to play there, but That to me is a scary, scary proposition that I want no part of.
I'd rather take a risk on a good player than just to twiddle your thumbs and hope that it all works out, because it ain't working out. Breaking news. If you just kind of hang out here and don't anything, it's not going
to
work.
The Cam Johnson one is more interesting to me. And
I love, you know, Cam Johnson.
He's
as
a great player, and he's a good fit because, as you mentioned, he's
young,
a great perimeter defender.
Two more years.
He's a shooter. You got two more years under good team control, and, you know, it might cost you Kevon and GP2 and another player, a smaller contract, and maybe it ends up costing you a protected first or a couple of seconds, whatever that is. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. I still would prefer Vucevic at about the same salary level.
Yeah, similar.
But to me, those are not bold moves. To me, the bold move would be giving Philadelphia Steph Curry and you take on Joel Embiid for the next 5 years.
That would be bold.
That would be bold.
That's very bold.
Yes.
You're right. The Cam Johnson move by itself would not be bold, but you have to think bigger than that. That's a step in the right direction. Maybe not everything bold is going to happen right this very instant before the deadline, but if you're going to try to make this work either with Steph or after Steph, you're going to have to be bold. Otherwise, you're looking at a lot of mediocrity in the future. Okay, time for a break. Jason in Oakland, I see you on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. We've got Greg Cosell coming up in about 20 minutes. Which one of us is he going to get today? Probably both. We'll find out in about 20. That's at 3:15 as we continue right here on 95.7 The Game.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.